Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
In these days of fear over climate change, superbugs, potential flu pandemics, and the consequences of a global population of 6 billion, it's hard to imagine how terrifying the scourge of smallpox was just over a half century ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have just come from the mayor's office where there was a conference on the subject of smallpox. The mayor is concerned about the appearance of this disease in the city. Now, there's no cause for undue alarm, thanks to the fact that most of the people of this city are protected by vaccination. The likelihood of a serious outbreak of smallpox is slight.
This year marks the 30th year since a global effort eradicated smallpox from the earth, and 30 years is an eye blink for a disease which transformed continents, infecting millions, and killed roughly 30% of its victims. To date, it is the only successful attempt by the global community to reduce the incidence of a disease in humans to zero. And global health experts are marking this year trying to see if success on smallpox can be applied to other infectious diseases that have been identified as potentially eradicable, including measles, mumps, rubella, lymphatic filariasis, and tapeworm. Joining us now is Dr. Walt Orenstein, Deputy Director for Immunization Programs for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, a foundation that funds this program, we should point out. Dr. Orenstein, good morning.
Good morning.
30 years since smallpox was eradicated, it's hard to put into context how important that was in world history, given what smallpox had represented to the world prior to 30 years ago.
Smallpox, in 1967, when an intensified effort began to eradicate it, was estimated to cause 1.5 to 2 million deaths. Now, in perpetuity, we will not have any deaths from smallpox. It's an amazing accomplishment.
And are there lessons for the future? In many ways, if you think about the success of polio's eradication through vaccine, and it hasn't been eradicated, it certainly was controlled in the United States after being a terrible fear for the entire nation. Are there lessons, or are we deluded into thinking that these things can be done much more easily than it's turned out?
There are several critical lessons. I'd like to name three. One is the importance of political will from the highest levels. The second is the need for innovation. There were key aspects that made smallpox eradication feasible. First was development of a novel injection technique called the bifurcated needle. That sounds fancy, but what it was is a needle with two prongs coming out like a fork that would draw out the right amount of vaccine, and you could put it on the skin and puncture. That made it easy for lay people to be trained to give this vaccine. A second major innovation was a completely novel strategy, which was find the cases, isolate them so they don't infect anybody else, and vaccinate everybody around them. And the third issue is resources. It's absolutely critical. You can have the best strategy, the best vaccine, but if you don't have the resources when you need them to pay the people to buy the vaccine, you won't go anywhere. So you have to have a financing mechanism to move a program forward.
You know, it seems the narrative of the smallpox story is it was the first time the immune system was actually mobilized as an ally in eradicating a disease. But it's also the story of how difficult it is to scale health strategies to a global scale, to be big enough to actually work on a global scale. Is that possible today with the Gates Foundation attempting to eradicate other kinds of diseases?
I think the Gates Foundation and others are working with a variety of partners to scale up efforts and support efforts that were actually ongoing before the Gates Foundation got involved. And I think that polio is also a good example of the lessons from smallpox. Your disease is very different. With smallpox, every case was clinically apparent, and so you could track cases and vaccinate around them. You didn't have to mass vaccinate the whole population. In polio, for every one case, about 199 people get infected and transmit. You can't predict, so you have to use mass campaigns. And so we've tailored our strategy based on the lessons. And I think we've had dramatic success. We've reduced polio cases by about 99% since 1988. And polio is now circulating in a very limited number of countries.
Explain why, and foundations like the Gates Foundation have struggled with this, why the technology that works so well in the lab really doesn't translate to the sort of public health domain. You can have success in the lab, but it takes a whole other kind of technology to have success with large populations.
Exactly. I think the issue is, until you use the product in a real human population, in a real human setting, you really don't know how effective it is. For example, with polio vaccine, the standard vaccine in most of the world is an oral vaccine that needs to infect the intestine and reproduce. It turns out, in the developing world in particular, that intestine can be an inhospitable environment to the vaccine, and so you need to use techniques such as giving more doses than you would normally give, let's say, in a place like the United States, to do that. And so, again, by knowing your disease, following it, tracking it, you can begin to adjust your strategy.
Dr. Walt Ornstein, Deputy Director for Immunization Programs at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, grappling with the lessons from 30 years of eradication of smallpox and our success with polio. Dr. Ornstein, thanks so much.
Thank you.